Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning health news time now. The chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran, with us today. Doctor, let's start by trying to sort out some of the confusion people have about the recommendations for the COVID vaccines. What can you tell us?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. You know, these recommendations that are coming out that have changed from the years prior, I think everyone should really just think about if you feel that you need a vaccination, your doctor feels that you should get the vaccination because of your medical condition and can help you. That's a shared decision making between yourself and your doctor, even for parents and with their children. This is usually how vaccinations are done historically over many, many years of looking at who should get a vaccination. And I think it's talk to your doctor. Anyone with increased risk, those with chronic conditions of diabetes, heart or vascular disease, emphysema or COPD, asthma, those individuals should get the COVID vaccination. And everybody else that is concerned should have that conversation with their doctor. And if their doctor really recommends it, that you should get it, it's usually covered by majority of the insurance companies that are out there. That's the way people should look at this and stop worrying about the age cutoff of one or the other. It's really do what we do normally and have a conversation with your doctor.
Makes sense. Let's turn to the news, and there has been a lot of it lately about breakthroughs as far as Alzheimer's is concerned. And now we're hearing about lithium possibly being used to treat Alzheimer's. What is this all about?
Yeah, it's an interesting study where they really looked at the brains of those individuals with Alzheimer's, and they were sampling blood and brain tissue and looking at what are some of the findings they could kind of link together with Alzheimer's, and plus looking at the brains of those individuals without Alzheimer's or dementia. And one of the things that stood out to them was there was one metal, lithium is a metal, that had significant differences in the two brains. And when they did a test with memory in mice of supplementing with lithium, they found that it can reverse Alzheimer-like memory loss in mice. This might be one of the things that further research is needed for, but it might be something that can help with our overall treatment of dementia.
Yes, that would be great. And as far as people feeling like they're getting brain fog and they are just showing signs of aging, now studies are telling us that it could be anemia, couldn't it?
Yeah, there's, you know, when you start thinking about anemia or a low blood count, many of the symptoms are those things that you associate as you get older. It's like you're a little bit more tired. You don't have that energy that you used to before. You walk up a flight of stairs, you get a little bit of shorter breath, or you just feel blah. And many people kind of rack that up as, you know, I'm just getting older. But there is a significant amount of individuals, you know, about 12.5% of the population over 60 that are anemic. And anemia could come from many sources. It could be nutritional, where you don't have the right vitamins, B12, folate, or iron to help you make red blood cells. It can also be blood loss. You know, people that go through surgeries, in major surgeries, sometimes become a blood loss anemia. We create the anemia and have to supplement them. Or individuals that have ulcers or colon polyps, or even the development of certain gastrointestinal cancers can lead to blood loss. And that anemia or lack of really blood cells to carry oxygen gives you an effect of, it basically saps you of energy. And it's one of the things that you should really get checked. It's a simple blood test called the CBC. And in that, we measure your hemoglobin in your blood and be able to better manage you going forward. And there's treatments for it. Nutritional sometimes is supplementing the vitamins. And then if you're low on iron stores, it is really supplementing your iron, and it could be orally or IV, depending on the significance of your anemia.
The most recent numbers on people over 60 who suffer from anemia, it's like 12.5%, isn't it?
It's up there. It's a lot of people that have it. And it's one of those things, if you're not feeling right, don't just going to blow it off, really think of it as maybe I should just get a regular physical exam. And in that, you get a basic blood work. And from that, you could really figure out anemia and get treated for it.
Yeah, just don't think you're tired because you're getting older. That's it, right?
Yeah.
The chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital is Dr. Thomas Moran. Doctor, let's talk about the latest study telling us to cut back a little bit on those sodas, chips, packaged soups, and chicken nuggets. This is nothing really new, is it?
No, it is, again, linking ultra-processed foods. So think of, just like you said, sodas, lunch meats, chips, anything that is processed with additives placed into it. And there's been a study that's out there that shows a little bit of a connection to lung cancer. Why is that happening? And everybody's looking, is it a cause of lung cancer? It's more of a connection. Ultra-processed foods, we've talked about this many times in the past, they are inflammatory. Inflammatory conditions in your body leads to a decrease in the ability of your immune system to function. Part of your immune system and what it does is there's cells out there that go and destroy cancer cells that develop within your body. So if you eat ultra-processed foods, you get increase in inflammation. That inflammation negatively affects your immune system, which is out there kind of monitoring your body to get rid of developing cancers. And you have a more of a chance of cancers developing because of the ultra-processed foods. And it's kind of basic, like we talked about beforehand. Food is medicine. Feed your body well with good foods. Your body will perform and do what it's supposed to do. Treat your body inappropriately or feed it add foods, you have problems going forward with it.
Also in the health news this week, the FDA approved a new eye drop, and this sounds like something a lot of us can use, doesn't it?
Yeah, as we get older, your eye has a kind of develops the inability to really focus down. So everybody ends up getting readers. It's called presbyopia. There are many, many people that as they get older, you got to get glasses to kind of read smaller print. This medication called Viz is an eye drop that just got approved at the beginning of August. And what it does, it works on the muscle that constricts your pupil and brings your pupil size down so you're able to actually read smaller print without glasses. And it looks like overall there's not many side effects of it, maybe a little bit of eye irritation. Some people develop headaches, or after putting the drops in, there's some change, like a little bit dimming of vision. But to be able to have within 30 minutes of placing the drop and have the ability to read a book or a menu without putting readers on, and it lasts for about 10 hours, it seems like one of those things that might become a standard of care in the future.
Viz, V-I-Z-Z. Is this going to be an over-the-counter eye drop?
I don't know if it's going to be over-the-counter or not. It's probably still going to be prescribed. I'm not sure on that one, Bob.
All right, we'll keep you posted. The coronary artery calcium test is something a lot of people still haven't heard about, but it can really tell you a lot about your heart attack risk, can't it?
Yeah, so it's a test. It's a CAT scan that is really brief. It's meant for those people who are between the ages of 40 and 75, who have never had a heart attack or a stroke and are not any cholesterol-lowering drugs at the present time. And what it's intended to do is kind of show you, do you have calcium deposits on your coronary artery? So if you could pick up calcium deposits on your artery, it gives you a visualization and actually helps doctors convince individuals you need to go on a statin to lower your cholesterol. It's hard sometimes to tell people, oh, your cholesterol's up. We want to lower your risk overall of developing a heart attack or a stroke. Take this medicine every day. Because they don't feel anything. They don't see anything that it's affecting them. But if you do this CT scan and you see your coronary arteries that have calcium deposits in them and you can make the outlines of them out, it gives the docs a little bit more of a push for patients to say, all right, I'll take the statin and lower my risk overall. And the grades go from really no calcium deposits, which means you're good and have a very low risk. And then the numbers increase and you go from like 1 to 100, you have a mild risk or a minimal risk. 100 to 300 is moderate. And then above 300, you have a pretty good size risk of developing something in the future, and it's more of a need to go on a cholesterol-lowering drug.
How accurate is this test?
They're good. They're cheap tests. You have to pay out of pocket. They're usually not covered for insurance. They're very quick. It's a lower dose of radiation than a regular CAT scan because it's a quick test. And they're pretty accurate of what you get, especially when you select the right patient. Mm-hmm. You don't want to take someone over 75. As we get older, we develop calcium deposits and our vessels get a little bit wear and tear on them. So there are going to be deposits there and there's no real overall benefit from doing the test. And if you're young without any hereditary conditions that put you at higher risk, it really doesn't benefit you that much.
Not expensive. That's good. And if you had the test years ago, should you take it again?
If you've been healthy, haven't had a stroke or a heart attack and not on medication, you talk with your doctor and they'll probably recommend you getting another one to see if you progressed or not and if you need to go on a medication.
And finally, we're hearing a lot about how good a walk is. And the latest research on this is telling us to maybe walk a little further and pick up the pace, right?
Yeah, I mean, the best way to look at this, it's be active. It's not like, you have to go out there and run a marathon. But the study showed that if you do a baseline number of steps of 2,300 in a day, every extra 1,000 steps you add lowers your overall risk of developing heart attack, stroke down the road. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty consistent. And the pace that you want to get at is not like a super casual walk, but what they looked at is 80 steps a minute, which is equivalent to about 2.5 to 3 miles an hour. And you want to keep that up for about 30 minutes. And if you do that daily, you'll have a much better increase in your overall longevity and health span. Plus, you're going to help digest your foods. You're going to move your muscles. Everything is a benefit from doing it.
Go for a walk and then get your breakfast of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, beans, lentils, nuts, and seeds. I got it.
There you go.
Thanks, doctor. You have a good one.
You have a good one, too. Take care.